Okay, a couple of verses I want you to go by. First of all, let me just start with Matthew 17, 20, because we are talking about the impossible. Why am I going so long with this? Because the longer you stay in it, the longer it stays with you. The longer you stay in, you know what, living in Quinlan, you got to really watch yourself, because that poverty mentality will overtake you if you don't be forceful. We were in Arkansas yesterday, and Arkansas has a strong poverty spirit. And that's not a charismatic thing. That's a real spirit. There really is a demon of poverty. And so with that, there's a lot of poverty over there. And it's so interesting listening to some of the people at our thing yesterday talk. And you can hear it. You can hear it. You can see it. And, you know, people that most likely, a lot of them probably make more money, way more money than I do. But yet again, it's that there's a spirit of poverty, and it creates lack, it creates poverty, it creates the disasters that cause lack also. And so for you and I, you know, if you stay in a poverty area or amongst the poverty spirit and you're not forcing increase in your life, then you can be overrun. You can be overrun with that. You can be overcome. And so, the whole time we've lived in Quinlan and we're still in the area, we've had to make sure that we have a strong faith or stronger faith in the area of prosperity, increase, and blessing, because if not, that will overrun you. That will overrun you. And so that's why we're talking about the impossible, because you and I, we should be facing impossible situations on a regular basis. Now you think, well, Pastor Mike, what are you talking about? I live a normal life. Anytime you are going to the next level from glory to glory, from faith to faith, it's going to require faith. I mean, how do you go from faith to faith? Faith, right? Faith is not believing what you can do. Faith is believing what only God can do. Does that make sense? And so in our daily lives, we should be looking past our abilities financially, physically. You know, years ago, I was having some back problems, and we had just started doing a little bit more traveling, and we were just getting ready to fly to Greenville, South Carolina, where we were going to preach. I think we preached four nights that week, and then a Sunday, of course. And I thought, man, I need to call and see if I can find a chiropractor in Traveler's Rest or Greenville, South Carolina, where we're going. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm preparing for back pain there? Well, I need to start believing that I'll be fine there, you know, here, there, whatever. And so I had to really guard myself and realize, wait a minute, I need to plan on being healed and not plan on being all jacked up. Now, nothing wrong with carrying first aid kits and ibuprofen or Tylenol or whatever. I mean, we bring itch creams. We go to Belize, and there's mosquitoes and stuff down there, and you know, all that stuff. But at the same time, am I planning for my demise, or am I planning for increase? Or what are we planning? You know, yesterday I'm getting ready to nail down my team. We're going by myself to Belize, going to a different region this time. But I'll meet up with Pastor Oscar from the island. But you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I hate to have to spend the money, you know, and thankfully it's a whole lot cheaper than a summer ticket, man, for November. And I thought, man, boy, there's, you know, we got John Tash coming, we got a lot of expenses coming up, and I thought, no, we're gonna get this done, we're gonna believe God. And again, if we're not believing for something, then we're not growing our faith, because faith always demands exercise. Now we don't get into debt just so we can grow our faith, all right? Well, I think I'm going to go get me a big old fat car payment or house payment, you know, that I can't cover with my own job, because I'm going to believe God. Well, that's foolish right there. That's presumption. That's not faith. How about get a smaller house payment? Let's believe God to get this thing paid off quicker so you can then go to the next thing. Another step. Just, hey, you know, glory to glory, faith to faith. So it says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain, be removed from yonder place and cast into the sea, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So there is no thing that's impossible. No thing. Now, what I want to get to today, very simply, let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, because there is another aspect of the goofy, crazy, weird, whacked out scenario that God operates in. You know, God does all kinds of stuff. I mean, man, God can, we've talked about Him splitting the Red Sea. I mean, that's just craziness right there. And not only that, but then walking across on dry ground, and then you have, you have God raining dove. They had the bread, they had the manna, that was like dew on the ground, and they had that. Well, they wanted meat, and God rains down, a dove from heaven, and so they got meat and bread. Man, that'd be great, you know what I mean? You know, speaking of dove, it's dove season right now. I was hearing gunshots this morning. I'm like, what? Is that gunshots? What is that? Then I'm like, oh yeah, it's dove season. I thought somebody's poaching out there. But anyway, so God just took care of them. And then when they wanted water, He just tapped a rock and water came out of it. You know what I mean? I spoke to a rock and water came out of it. And so this is great. I mean, this is wild stuff. Matter of fact, right before that happened, you had them being slaves to Egypt, the children of Israel. And then basically God tells them to borrow stuff from the people or take stuff from the people. Ask Him for it, is what He said. Ask Him for something. Ask Him, ask and you shall receive. Where'd that principle come from? All right, well, all they could say is no. Well, they didn't. They want to get rid of these jokers. They bankrupt the nation of Egypt from that moment on. Who'd have ever thought? Man, people have been holding me slaves for the last 400 years, and I just took their prized possessions. Man, that's impossible stuff. And we've got to get to the place where we are believing the impossible. Now, you've heard that saying before. I love the way Andrew Womack says that. If you're not bumping head on into the devil sometimes, it's probably because you're both running in the same direction. You know what I mean? And I appreciate a little conflict with the enemy, because it lets me know I'm headed in the right direction. But there's another aspect of believing the impossible, the whacked out, the crazy, that I believe it's time for you and I to really get a hold of. Acts chapter 16, and let's start at verse 23. This is where Paul and Silas, they had been preaching the gospel, signs and wonders happening, and they wound up casting a demon, the spirit of divination. That word divination, the word is puthon, which means python. We'll read the word python, and they call it a python spirit. Basically, it is a demon giving a prophetic word. Bet y'all didn't know that can happen, or demons can prophesy. And so anyhow, that's what that was. And so that demon and that girl was making a guy some money. Y'all know they got those little crystal ball readers and tarot readers and all that stuff, and they're making their money and all that stuff. It's just demons. Problem is, if you're open to that stuff, you can get possessed. You can get all jacked up and demonized, and man, you don't want that mess. All right, so here we go. They're in jail, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And here's verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, I want you to see this. Okay, so here Paul and Silas, they were beaten. So they weren't just thrown into prison. They were beaten. You know, back then, they were pretty barbaric, but ironically, all that's coming back around, where that barbaric nature is coming back. I mean, we're in a society that loves gore. We're in a society that loves gore toward good people, but when a bad person gets all messed up, you know, they get the law involved. They get all kind of crazy stuff, you know? And so anyhow, they got this, they beat them, they threw them in jail. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I was beaten and thrown in jail, I wouldn't be real happy. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, especially the beaten part. You know, nowadays, you know, you got things are weird, things are different, but at the same time, I just don't think I really would care for that. But it says here that they started singing and praising Him, singing hymns and praising God. Now, I want you to watch this, because that verse right there in verse 25, it says the prisoners were listening. Remember we mentioned earlier that people are watching us, that people are hearing what we're saying. Man, it was early this summer. Maybe like 2 weeks after school was out, we all went to Walmart, and I think Max had done something. I was really irritated, and so I think I was chewing him out as I was unloading the cart into the pickup. And right about the time I was getting the last bit of stuff, somebody came up behind me and grabbed me and said something. Well, it was a dad from the school, and I said hi to him, gave him a hug, and I'm thinking, oh man, how much of that chewing out did he hear, and how bad was I? You know what I mean? And so it makes you think, doesn't it? It makes you think. And I don't recall. I don't remember. You know, I seen his wife the other day, and she didn't look at me like I was a heathen. But, you know, so I guess I wasn't too bad. But they're listening. People are watching whenever we go through something. You see what I'm saying? All right. So it says they were singing and they were praying and singing hymns. All right. In the regular King James, it says they sang praises unto God. Everyone say praises. All right, I want to show you something. This word praises in the Greek means to celebrate. It means to praise with a hymn or hymns. A hymn is a song unto God. Basically, it's a song unto God. It says the word praises means to sing hymns to someone, to praise in song. So we are singing praise to someone. You see, personal relationship with God, we sing praises to Him. Now, at church, we can sing songs about Him, and what that does is glorifies God. That brings glory. The word glory, heavy, heavy with weight. It makes God weighty whenever we sing songs about Him. But when you're wanting intimacy, when you're wanting a greater manifestation of the presence of God, we sing songs to Him. I'm talking face-to-face. You say, Pastor Michael, I'm not seeing His face. You know what? You can close your eyes and you can believe that you are face-to-face. And there are times where we just have to do that. Remember, we talked about the verse in Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23, where it says, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is double, you've got your one eye on the problem and one eye on the answer. How great is the darkness? Listen, whenever we're going through a situation, what should we do? Because if you can't change it, if you're suffering, if you're dealing with things, well, if we'll just begin to focus on the Him, on the who, that's why it's very important that we watch and guard some of the songs that we sing. Because you see, we sing songs on a regular basis. You know, I'll say this, and yes, I'm going to brag on my children. Now, my children aren't perfect. Y'all all know that. I mean, my goodness, you kind of see them on a regular basis. But one of the most awesome things that I love, and this happens on a regular basis, is we'll walk by Max's room, and he'll be singing praise and worship songs. We were at the little lodge we were staying at in Arkansas, and the shower room had a grate in front of the door so you can hear inside real easy. And he was singing this worship song, and man, it just touched my heart. He's always singing. You know what? I am so glad that is the songs that my kids are singing. Now, that's about all we play. That's about all we play. Because I'd rather not my kids meditate on whose bed their boots have been under. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I love some good old country music, but you know, there comes a place where I've got to find out, do I really believe that if my kids are thinking about whose bed can the boots be under tonight, you know what I'm saying? You know, I love me some Alabama, but you know, I don't want my kids listening to the old "When We Make Love." I'm like, oh, what's that, Dad? What's that? Who do I do that with? What is it? Oh, come on. You know, y'all, oh, you're embarrassing me, Pastor Michael. You're embarrassing me. What I'm saying is, how do we sing songs during the week? Do we sing it with the same passion and fervor that we sing praise and worship on Sunday morning? Because there's a spirit on music. And if you don't realize that, you see, there's a reason why I don't go to certain concerts. Because there are spirits on that stuff. And if you're associated with them, you're open. And when you're open, there's a verse, and I believe it's in, it might be 1 Timothy chapter 4. The term used is roving spirits. So one of the words, I think it might be seducing, but in the Greek it's seducing or roving spirits. Roving spirits, they jump around. And they jump around whoever is open to those things. Listen, call me Bible thumper. Call me, mister, you think you're perfect. That's all right. That's all right. But you know what? I'm not going to clean house all the time. I don't have to worry about some of that stuff because I'm just not going to. Now, there's stuff I don't recognize and I got to watch myself. But at the same time, I'm going to be real careful. You know why? I love my family. I love y'all. Don't get me wrong. But I love my family. Does that make sense? Okay, I don't know where that's coming from. Back over here. And so the word praise. So here they are. They are singing to God, making God bigger than the problem. Well, Pastor Michael, that don't make sense. I fully agree. This is weird. This makes no sense whatsoever. All right, let's turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. No, let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6, and I'll close with this. Because this is just so odd. Just singing. That's the problem. They weren't just singing. They were actually praising. Well, what's the difference? Praising is when you're actually singing to God. Singing is when you're singing the very same song you're praising, but you're just singing it. You see, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in John 4:24, that those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So just because we're singing a song doesn't mean we're praising and doesn't mean we're worshiping. All right. And so here we go, Joshua chapter 6. This is the destruction of Jericho. Look at verse 5, and it shall come to pass when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight before him. Now I want you to see this. It says, when you march around the city seven times on the seventh time, or 7 days on the seventh time, the seventh day, then you will blow the trumpet and shout. Now that word shout in the Hebrew has the understanding of a war cry or a victory cry. Okay, that don't make sense. It's almost ignorant. I mean, for lack of a better term, this is ignorant. There's no way to get it. It just doesn't make sense. Listen, it doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Believing God's words makes faith. That's what faith is believing God's words. Not believing what you do in the natural. Well, you know, I just believe, Pastor Michael, if I just add one more payment to the backside of my note that I can get my house paid off 7 years earlier. Well, I believe that also, and that's easy. My dog can believe that. My cats can believe that. Why? Because you can put it all down, figure it all out, and boom, there it is. What's more awesome than, you know, putting an extra payment on behind there is when we believe God for debt elimination. For debt. Man, I am very surprised. Some of the religious groups that I associate with, they're starting to believe and like this debt elimination thing. They are really digging this stuff. Man, we got to get back into this. That originated from us. No, just kidding. All right. But I want you to see this. So it says here, shout, a great shout. It's a shout of victory. You don't shout for victory until the victory is won. That's one of the biggest reasons why this thing doesn't make sense. You see, why were Paul and Silas singing to the Lord in prison? You know, one of the words for praise, and we'll talk about this next week, has the understanding of praising God because of His character and praising God for what He said He has done already. In other words, you need to know the word for you to really truly praise. You know, we talked about this the other day about some of the Christian artists that really don't even know the word, and they got great songs. I mean, it's really, you know, it sounds great. There's a, you know, I enjoy it. It's got a great rhythm. But you know what? If you don't know your promises and what God, what are you praising? Oh, He's just so good to me. Well, that's good, but what are you talking about? What He just did. Well, that's good that you're thankful what He did, but how about what He said He did? Because, man, you get into higher praises, it goes by because what He said He did. I thank you, God, because you said I'm debt-free. I thank you that you said I am the healed of the Lord. I thank you that you sent me. I don't know what songs Paul and Silas were singing, but it got God's attention. They glorified because they sang to Him. It glorified Him so much that I believe He just dropped down some heavy presence, hit the ground, boom, here I am. You know, Max, he walks so hard in our house as Pier and Beam, and he walks, man, he bangs on the ground. You know when Max is coming your way. It's great because it's like sonar. He's, here's Max, he's coming. And he can't walk in the house. He has to run from room to room. And so again, you know, God, boom, here I am. Prison doors shake. You know, stocks fall off, all that kind of stuff. All because the presence. And then back over here in the Old Testament, Jesus, I mean, they're shouting. And all of a sudden, the walls came down. Listen, what I'm saying is, if you want to see the impossible broken out of our lives, it has got to start and end with the Word of God, and one of the words is a word of praise. A shout of victory. Nothing's going to, walls can't come down. Imagine if they'd have done the charismatic thing, you know, around those walls, you know, we're just gonna play music and dance, and you know, we're just get a little crazy and maybe slay someone a spear, well, whatever, I don't know, get all crazy and stuff. If they didn't do exactly what he said to do, nothing would have happened. If Paul and Angel, if Paul and Silas would have just prayed in tongues, would that have happened in the jail? No, not necessarily. They were praising Jesus. They were praising his character and who he is and his nature, and God just couldn't help himself. He had to respond. So here's a question. What is it in our lives that demand praise? What is it in our life that's waiting for the scary shout of victory? What do you mean scary shout of victory? Man, the devil can't stand a shout of victory from a believer, because a shout of victory comes when we believe that we've already won. That's what that means. Let's stand this morning. You know, you've heard a story before about how the Marine Corps got the name Devil Dogs. During one of the wars, they were surrounded, and I believe it was the Japanese. They were surrounded by the Japanese, and they were dug in. They were more Japanese than there were then. The Marines were fighting back until they ran out of bullets, and then they start throwing their guns at them. Well, of course, the Japanese, you know, they were like, all right, they're done. So they're getting ready to start inching their way and moving on in and just dropping it all in that hole where those Marines were. And all of a sudden, they heard the most craziest laughter. I mean, it was crazy people laughing. They were laughing with hilarity. And then all of a sudden, all these, I think it was like 20 to 1. All these Japanese, they ran in horror. And so I don't know how long it took before the Marines realized we're still alive and we're not hearing gunfire. So they got out of the hole. Well, years later, whenever the war was over, somehow one of the Japanese that they had taken captive was actually there at that day. And so whenever they talked to him, they interviewed the guy, they said, man, what happened? And the guy used some Japanese word. He said, man, we thought y'all were this, or basically devil dogs. He said, we call y'all devil dogs. He said, y'all was crazy. That sounded crazy. It scared us. We left. And, you know, Japanese are hard to scare back then. But listen, they had a shout. They had a hilarity. They had, for us, we would call it a shout of victory or praise. But listen, the thing about a shout of victory, it's not a one-time thing. It's a shout until the thing falls down, or a praise until the prison doors open up. Now, you want to start destroying the impossible? You want to start seeing the impossible become nothing but a byword? That's when we start scripturally praising God. And listen, praising from our spirit, not from flattery. You know, flattery is when your mouth is doing one thing, but your heart is doing something completely different. You know, I could easily be thinking about lunch as I'm, oh, thank you, Jesus. When are we going to go for lunch today? You know, and oh man, the volume stinks. I mean, this is just, oh, did you hear? Oh, so-and-so was off key. Now, y'all were on key, I'm just saying that. Oh, they were off key. Who was singing behind me? Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. You know, we know all that. And y'all don't know. Y'all don't know if I'm praising God or not. But what I am saying is, I think that sometimes we tend to do that where we're postured, we're singing, but this right here, this is what needs to sing. This is what needs to sing. This is what needs to praise God. This is what needs to give glory to God. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that praise, that the shout of victory will open the door of any stronghold, every prison that may be blocking us in. Father, I thank you that it's the answer to depression. Now, God, it's not shouting an empty shout. It's shouting because we believe what the Word of God said. And we're excited because of what the Word of God said. Father, to where we are meditating the Word so much that we can't help but shout. God, David believed your promise of protection so much that he talked to Goliath as if Goliath was a nobody. Father, that's what we require. So, Father, I thank you as we recognize that today. I believe things in our life are beginning to change. That there are promises that have been surrounded by the enemy's walls. He's been trying to separate us. Well, Lord, you said it all the time. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, from the goodness of God, or the promises of God, because all the promises are yes and amen. But the enemy built a wall, and our flesh recognized it, and we didn't praise you for what you had already said you already did. But Father, today things begin to change. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. As I was praying that just a second ago, I saw things rattle off. I saw chains rattle off. I seen some of us in here have been going around the same mountain over and over and over again. I saw those chains. I saw things change. I saw something happen. And if we will be, you see, if we have a strong shout of victory at home, oh my, the presence of God in here would be exponential when we all praise. It would come up so high, it'd knock the roof off. People would be running in here thinking there's a fire in here. But I saw that very strongly. You know, sometimes we have a hard time thinking about what God said because the problem is right in our face. Listen, the answer is meditate the Word. And as you meditate the Word, part of your meditation is bring it into song. Father, I thank you that you said you'll meet all my needs. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you. You're Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Hallelujah. I said those two covenant names and I felt a release in the anointing. So lift, if you're believing for some healing for finances, just lift up your hands. Father, I thank you. I glorify you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. I thank you that you sent your word to heal. So we release that healing anointing right now in Jesus' name. We release that healing anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. I thank you for eyes being healed. I sense there are some eyes being healed. Father, I thank you for eyes being healed right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for financial increase. Father, you've been building us up in faith for harvest during our offering time. And Father, we praise you for harvest. Lord, we glorify you that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we praise you that you said, if we give, it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto us. So God, I glorify you that we're qualified. You said to bring the whole tithe, not half the tithe. You said to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, the place where we are fed. Father, I thank you we do that. And Lord, I'm qualified that you said you open the windows, the floodgates, the rain of heaven, and put more on me than I have room enough to receive. Father, I glorify you. Lord, help me get some ideas on where to put this stuff, because when it comes in, I ain't got enough room. Father, I glorify you that you said we will loan to many nations and borrow from none. There's a place called impossible to the world that God says is done. What the world says impossible, God says it is finished. And when I said this, I was thinking about debt freedom. Debt freedom. What is the purpose of debt freedom? So you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So you can increase the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for debt freedom for the purpose of the gospel. I thank you for increase for the purpose of the gospel. Prosperity, the purpose of prosperity is perpetuate the presence, the kingdom, the things of God. Father, we bless now. We speak blessing. Now, Lord, we just speak peace over those people in Odessa, those who've lost loved ones, those that have been injured. Father, I ask right now that you'll open the eyes of the church. God, that we'll realize what the answer, what the problem has been and what the answer is. Father, I ask right now that believers will no longer be weak, no longer be sissies, to stand up for what's right and not let wrong overrun. Father, I thank you for states like Oklahoma that have the Ten Commandments all over the dead gum state. Father, I thank you for people rising up in this state and saying enough is enough. Lord, in Jesus' name, we declare blessing over our president. We declare blessing over our governor. Father, I thank you for giving them the wisdom to make the decisions that need to be made. And I thank you for us as believers that, Lord, you said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. God, we are kingdom people, and it's time for us to stand up with force. It's time for us to stand up and be heard and not be silent. Lord, we've been silent too long. And Lord, the 1% of the perverse society looks like they're 90% now because of us. But Father, today we stand for truth. We stand for righteousness. We stand for the Word. And we stand for you, Jesus, in your place on this earth because you gave us dominion. Lord, we bless Florida and those Gulf states, and those East Coast states. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We bless them right now. I bless those churches. God, I just thank you, Lord. We just command that hurricane to begin to disintegrate. We command that to begin to dissolve in Jesus' name. And we rebuke fear right now in the authority of Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, amen.